WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Top of the afternoon slash evening to you. Welcome to another windy edition of Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. And of course, today being election day in 55 communities here in the Commonwealth, that is a way for you to express, if you are a U.S. citizen, express your freedom of the vote. And if you're within the sound of my voice, let's say New Bedford, it's election day for you. Very big election day. Lots of people running for 5 seats at the at-large New Bedford City Council, some ward races for the City Council, and 4 people running for 3 seats on the New Bedford School Committee. It's November 4th, big election day, not only here in the Commonwealth, but also around the country. We're going to get into that in just a bit. Did you know that today is Use Your Common Sense Day? Anyone who knows me well enough knows that I don't believe that there is such a thing as common sense. Yes, there is the term, the expression. But what might be common sense to you isn't necessarily common sense to the person right around the corner from you. And I know people find that hard to believe, but sometimes you just have to consider it, have to think about it. Use Your Common Sense Day is today, November 4th. On this date, we were introduced to the National Security Agency, NSA. That was back in 1952. In 1979, a group of Iranian college students just decided they were going to barge right into the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. They took a whole bunch of hostages. 90 is the number that I was first told. They did release some. 90 hostages. And they were held, 444 days. Ronald Reagan beat incumbent Jimmy Carter to become our 40th president. And if I recall correctly, on the day that Ronnie was sworn into office, the hostages from the 1979 embassy raid were released. I think I've got that right. I think I remember watching it play out right there on the TV. The Brian's Beat quote of the day: the pursuit of happiness is in our Constitution. We're all entitled to have the best we can. The pursuit of happiness is in our Constitution. We're all entitled to have the best we can. Loretta Swit, actress, you might remember her from MASH. She also did a lot of movies in her day. 508-996-0500. I gotta tell you, I was listening to The Wind last night, and as I got up today, I saw some people walking around, and all I could think, I said it to woman friend, skirt alert. Skirt alert. Gotta watch out. Watching the women hold their skirts as they walk their dogs. Skirt alert day. Yeah, you know how windy it was? It was so windy last night that the roof over at the Triad Boatworks, that's in Mattapoisett, blew off. Yeah, it didn't look like it was a really stable type roof, but still, that's how windy it got last night, and it blew not all of the roof, but enough of it, enough that you could see all the boats inside because the boats have been stored for the wintertime in it. It's kind of scary, though, when you think about it, how the wind can blow so fiercely. I don't know if the accident in Louisville, Kentucky, or thereabouts, is storm-related. But apparently a plane went down, and when I first heard plane crash, that's what I heard, plane crash. And I'm thinking to myself, again in our area? And then the reporter mentioned, and then I saw the caption on TV, that it was in Louisville, Kentucky. I don't know anything about fatalities. The one thing I do know, it's amazing how things change. Not so much about the crash, but about the airport. The name of the Louisville airport is called the Muhammad Ali International Airport. Now, depending on your age, you might not think much about that. But I sit here and I say, wow, here's a guy that the government tried to put away, made sure that he at least lost his boxing crown. And I guess you could also say, well, Ali did that. Okay, fair enough. And he wasn't able to box, I believe, for 3 years. 3 years. In his prime. Because he did not want to go to Vietnam. He did not want to be forced to enlist into the military. Many people thought, wow, how could he? And he's a loudmouth anyway. And when he got back to boxing, a lot of people booed. Even people that cheered him on prior started to boo him because of his stance. Not just because it was Vietnam, but because it was not serving in the military. And to think that the airport in Louisville, Kentucky, is named after him. My, how things change. Okay, 508-996-0500. Let's start local. I heard a report. I'm not sure if it was on Chris's show, if it was in our news. Tim, I don't think it was Tim. And I don't think it was Barry. At any rate, here's what I heard. I heard that voter turnout in New Bedford was pretty slow. Pretty slow. Slow and low. Is it that people, New Bedford residents in this particular case, don't feel that there's anybody worth voting for? Is it that people in New Bedford believe even if they vote, their vote really does not count? What is it? Or is it, maybe it's us. What I mean by us, the people that sit in a studio and talk to you through a microphone and it goes into your ear in through your speakers, your earpiece, whatever the case may be. Is it us? Are we making a big deal because 6% or 12% show up to vote? And we think it's a low number. We think it's low voter turnout. We think that people don't care. Is it that the people don't care, or do they believe, whether they are incumbent or people that are new, that they really can't do anything to change what they believe is broken? Of course, yours truly believes it's all of that. I believe it's all of it. I believe people, and it's not just the city of New Bedford, although it's very pronounced in the city of New Bedford, that they feel that they make requests and councilors, mayor, they don't respond. They believe that the elected officials are for themselves and not for the people. They believe they have so much on their platter that to take the additional 20, 25 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, to go from work over to the polling place and then get back to work. Well, not only does it eat up all of lunch, but what are they really getting for it? And so you take all of the above and you get a very low voter turnout. For the people that did go out to vote, how are you feeling today? Are you thinking there's going to be one new at-large councilor seat or more than one? Do you think that Naomi Carney, who had a, I believe, seventh place finish in the preliminary, does she get the necessary votes to be reelected as an at-large New Bedford City Councilor? And who do you think, there is going to be at least one new face, at least one new face in the at-large race? Who do you think that's going to be? There are lots of names out there. Do you have a dog in the fight? I'm not quite sure. You know, I think the big boys, and that includes big girl as in Naomi Carney, I think that they have a campaign war chest sizable enough that they have their campaign signs up. They're able to buy the necessary advertising to remind you that they have been fighting for you. And I'm always puzzled because I ran into a couple of people yesterday. And they were saying to me that, you know, we got to get the money out of politics. And so I naturally asked, well, what do you mean? Well, people can advertise and they get all of these organizations to fund them, and then they're beholden to the organizations, police union, fire union, teachers union, those types of organizations. And I said, well, what about you? Are you voting for somebody that's been backed by these unions? Are you voting for that person because they're backed by the union, or are you voting for that person because you like the person? And of course, they like the person. And I said, well, why do you think others don't do exactly what you are doing? It's amazing. Other people do differently than we do. Isn't that amazing? So in other words, you're conscious not to vote for somebody because they were getting campaign contributions from a group that you don't like, or you're not crazy about that candidate, even though that candidate gets a lot of money, you're voting for somebody else. But nobody else does that. Part of that is because of the fact that that particular person, the winner, goes door to door. I mean, have you looked at your leading candidates, the incumbents, to see what they're doing? And look, I don't want to take anything away from any of the challengers. I mean, they're working it. They are working it. There are candidates that are running in the city of New Bedford who I believe have been there a lot longer than they should be there. But you know what? They kind of earn that stripe. They get off their butts. They get out there. They shake hands. I don't know. I hope they're not kissing babies. But they try to do stuff. I don't always agree with what they try to do, but they're trying to do something. And that's part of the reason why they get the campaign war chest. That's part of the reason that they consistently get reelected. People don't want to look at that. They always wonder, well, where is my counselor when I need him? When I can't get this road paved? They may be at work. They may be working on another piece. They could be working on getting your road paved and you just don't know it. That's the life of a very low-paid city councilor. Now, I'm not for paying city councilors, but that's the life of a low-paid city councilor. Taking it outside the city, if you have any hints, I know the polls are open for another hour and 35 minutes thereabouts. But if you have any hints about how you think the outcome is going to be with any of the races, the real tight one, really tight one, seems to be Ward 2 between Pemberton and Giesta. No idea. No dog in the fight. Should be interesting to see that how that one pans out. In New York, Zoran Mamdani. I think it's a matter of how much is he going to win by? Will he get 50% of the vote? It's a three-person race. Will he get 50% of the vote? And I'm bringing this up. I brought it up again last night. He is a Democratic socialist. He's admitted it as if it's a dirty term. Last I knew, in the United States of America, we have multiple political parties. You can be whatever. You can be a communist. You can be a socialist. You can be an atheist. Not that I believe that's a political party. You can be a libertarian. You can be the Republican, Democrat. You don't have to be with any political party. But we hear the term Democratic Socialist. And it conjures up a negative feeling in my mind. I'm not going to say it's a negative feeling in your mind, but in my head, it does. There is nothing that is really attractive to me about Mamdani's campaign. But the one thing I am curiously excited about, the fact that he has been able to mesmerize the people of New York City. And as I said before, he's not a stranger. He has been elected to other positions up in, I was going to say Sacramento, up in Albany. So it's not like he's a stranger in the night. I don't know how he's going to pull off any of these programs. I did put up the question on my Facebook, what I brought up last evening. So what if he does win? Most people don't believe that socialism works. I'm curious because I do see, I brought it up last night, some of the Scandinavian countries. So I don't know that man Danny can do what a Sweden, what a Norway, Denmark. I don't know that he can pull off for a city what those countries have done. And there are other countries out there that roll in that direction. If you think about some of the European countries, they've had France. France has had socialists running their country. Members of their parliament or representative body. Spain's been that way. And most people that travel and travel to Europe, they don't bat an eyelash at going to any of those countries. So what is the genuine fear of Ma'am Danny being elected and being the mayor of New York City? He has stated what his policies will be. I don't know that he can get all of them done or any of them done. And if he does push them forward, I don't know if any of them succeed. But I do wonder, since the people are electing him, it's not selecting. He didn't overthrow anybody. He is seemingly, like I said earlier, the question is, does he get 50% of the vote? How much does he win by? And we have the president of the United States who is saying he's got a hard time thinking about giving any money to New York City, place that he used to live. And he's going to have a hard time because in his eye, he would rather give to Cuomo, who he doesn't really care for, a bad Democrat, as he called him, than to a communist. I don't know why you're giving money in the first place, but if you give to another city under a similar pretext, then you got to give it to New York City also. Doesn't matter if you like or dislike that person's politics. Just like you give to Michelle Wu in Boston, who you're not crazy about, or to Brandon in Chicago, who you're not crazy about. There are a lot of mayors that aren't crazy about the president, and the president is not crazy about. But the orderly function of governments, calls for the federal government to give aid to the state governments and the city governments. So it shouldn't matter if our president of the United States thinks that the next sitting mayor of New York City is a communist or not. If there's a reason that you would give with another mayor for whatever that cause might be, then you got to give, Mr. President. Stop playing. You know, that's playing the game. That is playing the game instead of trying to fix what's wrong or what could be wrong. And I, you know, going back to where I was at the beginning with all of this, very, very similar to what I was stating before, why people don't show up to vote. They're sick of the BS. They're sick of the bull. And their way of combating it is to not show up. What does that say about us and the people that we consistently re-elect? Hey, folks re-elected Donald Trump. But why did they re-elect Donald Trump? They didn't like what was going on with the other party. And why did the other party win and defeat Donald Trump before? Because they didn't like what was going on. Why did Donald Trump win in the first place? Because folks didn't like what was going on. Why did Barack Obama win in 2008? Because folks wanted change. They didn't like what was going on. It's a recurring theme. It's a recurring theme. People don't like what's going on. 508-996-0500. Thank you for your patience. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes.
Hey.
Yay. E.
A few things.
I-O-U.
S-E-I-E-I-O.
What's
hey,
up?
A few things about the New York City mayor race and why I might never vote again. When you actually participate in a system where there's pretty much only two parties that basically mirror images of each other in corruption, and then you tell me I can vote by mail and that we can early vote. It's like if you participate in that program, you're consenting to be governed by total corruption. But I understand why people aren't voting, because the system is so corrupted. Like right in your face corrupting, people just pretend like it's not happening. Right? And about this New York mayor race.
Well, he's somebody different, isn't he?
Mamdani?
Yeah.
Well, I think this is why he's going to win. I think on New York City is a haven of corrupt, call me anti-Semitic, that's okay. It's a haven of corrupt Jewish power, and people are starting to realize that down at the walk in the streets level. You didn't hear about this, but there was a Shabbat temple that they were trying to fill up tunnels that they had connecting their headquarters with an adjoining building with cement. There were mad riots in New York, and the media never talked about this. They got big dump trucks full of cement, and they were caught trying to fill up tunnels that they had where they found baby mattresses.
So you got to tell me, who was trying to fill up the tunnels?
These Shabbat members. And there were mad riots in New York. You heard about it if you know where to go. On the mainstream news, you heard absolutely nothing about it. And there were a lot of riots in New York City, but you heard nothing about it on CNN.
And how long ago was this?
This was a few months ago, maybe during the summer. There's so many things that are occurring in this country that the mainstream media just does not talk about it. Now, whether you watch Anderson Cooper or Jesse Waters, you're basically listening to liars that are just paid to propagandize for their own political cult. That's where we're headed.
I don't know about that's where we're headed. It seems like we're already there.
It's just going to get worse and worse and worse until it's going to become so obvious that if you continue to deny it. Like, I look at Trump and I see him as just a Republican Obama. Lots of big promises and then flip the script on very important issues, and his followers don't want to even acknowledge it. Just like Obama did. It's basically the same thing. That's why they were patting each other on the belly, hugging each other at Carter's funeral. It's all a big game, and that's how we're going to lose this. They're not going to overtake us by force. They're just going to trick us with con games. And we're so gullible and so lacking in morality that we're going to fall for whatever garbage that they throw in front of us.
I guess. I mean, I think part of that has already started to happen. Thank you. I do appreciate the call. Going back to your opening statement, I can see why people don't go out to vote. I'm hoping that they did, I'm hoping the estimate by a New Bedford Election Commission expert was 12% voter turnout, which is about double the voter turnout for the preliminary election, which was roughly 1 month ago. 12% of registered voters. Let's say that is the number. 12% of registered voters go to the ballot box today and put in an election ballot. If my math is correct on that 12%, that would tell me that 88% decided not to vote. Let's give the benefit of a doubt and say that 20% of the registered voters in the city of New Bedford decided to go to the polls today. 20%, that's 1 out of 5. That means 4 out of 5, 80% did not show up. That's horrible. That should be grounds for just taking the vote away from the people of New Bedford. You know what? That might be a way to get people to go out and vote. Maybe we make up new ground rules. If your community doesn't show up to the polls, and you got to have at least 50%. And let's say you go 3 elections. We won't include preliminaries. 3 elections. If you don't have 50% over that 3 election period, there won't be an election the next time. That'll get people off their butts. Sometimes you got to force the issue. At the same time, I sit here and I say, you know, one of the things about being a libertarian is that I don't have to go out and vote as many times as most people, most registered voters have to go to the box or feel compelled to go to the box. Now, I could, but as I stated, I'm a libertarian and I pretty much vote libertarian. If there's a libertarian candidate, most candidates that have been libertarian that have run, their blood bleeds the same as mine. So I might not agree with one or two of the things on that candidate's platform, but 8 or 9 of them I do, and that's good enough. That passes the sniff test. But when it comes to the preliminaries, I'm looking at Democrat A, Democrat B. Maybe there's also a Democrat C. Or Republican A, Republican B, Republican C. And I'm not interested. Especially if I know that there is going to be a libertarian running in that race. 10 out of 10 times, I'm going to vote for that libertarian. Unless something PU comes up and says, no, I'm not going to vote for that because she or he did something that warrants me not to cast a ballot for that person. Now, here's the thing. After the preliminaries, there is a Democrat, there's a Republican. If there's just those two, if the Republican is really repulsive, then I'll write in Mickey Mouse or somebody else. If the Republican is okay, I'm voting for that Republican. Somebody's saying, well, why won't you consider the Democrat? Because the Democrat Party in this state is so tightly wound up that even if they were open market the way that I am, wanting to cut taxes the way that I would, less intrusive regulations like I am, when that person gets up on Bacon Hill, they will be drowned out. And you might say, well, so you get a Republican up there. At least I have an idea that the Republican is trying, and the other four or five Republicans that are up there with them, they're trying, but they just have no clout. They just have no clout. So I'm watching New York City, and I guess sometime around 9 o'clock I will know for sure what happens in New York City. The other two races that I'm watching, the governor race in New Jersey and the governor race in Virginia, I was listening to, I think it was the 5 o'clock news, and ABC had a reporter in New Jersey, and the reporter was talking to some woman who had cast a ballot, and the reporter says that she voted for the Democrat candidate for governor. And her response to the reporter was, I voted for the Democrat. I hate Trump so much. I hate Trump more than I hate my ex-husband.
When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty.
This is WBSM.
The government may be shut down. Legitimate business funding remains open. See for yourself at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Back to Brian's Beat.
This is my boss, Jonathan Hart, a self-made millionaire. He's quite a guy. This is Mrs. H. She's gorgeous. She's one lady who knows how to take care of herself.
It's going to be hard for me as the president to give a lot of money to New York.
Yeah, well, it should be interesting. And I know there are lots of Trump fans that listen to this show and to this radio station. But if the president decides not to give money to New York City because he believes that the person who freely won the election is a communist, I don't know, that's wrong. You know, the people freely elected this guy, and I'm saying freely elected because as much as I would not cast a ballot for him, I think the people of New York, this is what they want. And sometimes you got to give the people what they want when they have decided that they're going to vote him in. I look at everything that Ma'am Danny has faced, being called anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, all of the other names, on top of being called a communist. And yet, if nothing else, I believe that the people of New York have, you know, they're being defiant to all of the people that are name calling Ma'am Danny. So now we get to sit and wait. And since it's the population-wise largest city in the United States, we get to see how this plays out. I have mentioned this before. I think the worry for the yous and me's are if some of these policies that Man Danny is going to be implementing starts to work, and you see cities here in the Commonwealth, maybe Providence, they start instituting some of these, and the next thing you know, it spreads. But then, let's think about it. I brought this up last night. Isn't mass health a socialized insurance program, medicine program, health program? Isn't the overwhelming educational institution known as public school, isn't that a socialistic program? we have been talking about SNAP. Isn't that a socialistic program? Now, you may not receive SNAP benefits. Hey, hey, join the crowd. But that doesn't mean we don't pay into it. Social Security. You may or may not be receiving Social Security, but chances are you paid into it or a reasonable facsimile thereof. So this is what's going on. Man, Dammy is just going to call it what it is. Then we've got Virginia, the Virginia governor race. It almost seems, you know, as the New York City mayoral race, the Virginia governor race seems to be a foregone conclusion. Now, anything can change. People may change their mind and turn around. But you know what I'm finding more and more? And it goes back to the woman in New Jersey who said that she hates Trump more than her ex-husband. I don't know what went on in her life, but be that as it may, I'm beginning to believe whether we're talking New York City, state of New Jersey, state of Virginia, state of California. California is voting on a ballot question so they can gerrymander their districts to put in more Democrats to counter what Texas has done. All of these are countermeasures to Donald Trump. And it makes me wonder, you know, we talk about what's going to happen in New York City, but the governor races in New Jersey and in Virginia. Are people voting for these people because they don't like the guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Or are they voting because they really want this person to be in office? I think most of the people in New York that are voting, they're voting for a sea change. But if you're voting for a Democrat over a Republican in Virginia or in New Jersey, you're doing it, and folks have even come out and stated it, they're doing it because of the guy in the White House. They're that frustrated. And my guess, if New York goes Democratic Socialist, if New Jersey goes Democrat, and if Virginia goes Democrat, when we get to the midterm elections, and Donald Trump has expressed it himself, he's worried. He is worried. He's out touting everything that he's done, and yet, as great as he's making everything sound, he is worried that he's going to lose seats in the House of Representatives. Not talking much about the Senate, but he's worried about that. What's that telling you? It tells me that his program hasn't been all that great. Yes, I know we're 8-9 months into it. But the people are complaining already. The farmers that voted for him, they're already complaining. All the businesses that he says are coming back, well, we hear the talk. We see some of the money exchanging. But where are the people? More importantly, where are the jobs? Where are those jobs? Because that's part of it, Mr. President. You can bring Apple back, but if Apple is going to use AI, what good is it for the people? If you're not giving the food stamps, I wouldn't either, but if you're not going to give it, or you're going to hesitate on how much you give, you're losing votes because of this. I would say that the president of the United States, he better pull out some magic, because I believe He's losing New York City. He's losing New Jersey. And I'm going to say it just like this. He's already lost Virginia.
Power to the people.
WBSM.
Low-cost air helps you find the best airfares, foreign and domestic. Low-cost air, 800-221-6085. Low-cost air, 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
No, this is about many things. This is a country that allowed their prisons to be emptied into our country. To me, that would be almost number one, because
we
have other countries.
Look,
Mexico has been very bad to us in terms of drugs, okay? Very bad.
How did we go from Venezuela, Mexico has been bad on drugs? And maybe they have been, but according to the Drug Enforcement Agency, Venezuela really isn't in the drug business. Our own DEA and the United Nations, whatever you want to say about our DEA or the United Nations. The quote of the day from Loretta Swit, "The pursuit of happiness is in our Constitution," caught me by surprise. Then I thought about it. No, it isn't. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is part of the preamble, I believe, to the, not the preamble, but to the Declaration of Independence, which I know a lot of people confuse with our Constitution. Anyway, time for me to pack my bags. Thank you very much for joining us on the program tonight. 47 in Seekonk, 44 in Middleborough, and 47 in New Bedford.